things being better in spirit, but rather things need to be right in spirit first, and it flows out from there. And that's very important to understand, because when you have a need, or you have pain, or you have something troubling you, it's very easy to become caught up in that, or so focused in that, that your efforts are all just on trying to fix something, but it's not really flowing from the Spirit of God. So out of it are the issues of life, it says, and the issues of life in the Hebrew, in defining that issues, it's speaking of the like extreme boundaries. And that's how I'm coming to say that things are right in spirit, or the beginning of things being remedied begins in your spirit and goes out to every other area. So it's saying here, the boundaries of life, or every far-reaching part of your life, needs to be affected, or it is affected actually, by what's in abundance in your heart. So when we understand that, then our approach is set. That we first, our first approach is being strong in spirit, or right in spirit, or healthy in spirit. And that's going to come by the Word of God being dominant, or the dominating thing in our spirit. So God's Word needs to be kept in our heart, before our eyes, in our ears, that we are so full of His Word that is the dominant, the Word of God is what's dominant in our spirit. And then there is the release from our spirit to every other area of our life. You know, you'll see this in many ways. You could have people with issues within a marriage. And they'll try to do things in the natural, and they'll buy a book, 23 Steps to a Happy Marriage. Where really the Bible is fairly simple in that. Love God with all your heart. It's real simple. It's not a 23-step process, but rather if your spirit man's being dominated by the love of God, that's just what's going to come out of you. And it'll flow fine. Even when you err, do wrong, or sin, you'll be quick to repent, forgive the other person, receive forgiveness, and so forth. So that's just one thing. Or you have with children, people want to do all these things in the natural, rather than understand things need to be right in spirit first. That everything pertaining to fullness of life proceeds out from the heart and from your spirit. So we need to keep ourselves full of the Word. Now that's a thing you all know, you've heard many times, but we can't really hear that enough, because we have to live in the light of that. Now, something I want to make mention of with having something like an iPad, we are so, so blessed. Maybe for some of you, it's your iPhone. But something I've begun to do in light of being facing some health challenges is I'll listen to the Word every night being read. And there's so many things you can tap into. I mean, just get on YouTube and type in healing scriptures. And there's different voices, different background things, and all the rest, whatever you like. I generally listen to Kenneth Hagin reading his book, God's Medicine, which is a list of all healing scriptures. And it's about an hour, hour and a half. And generally, that's how I go to sleep. Or if I'm waking up at night, which, in recent times I've had issues with sleep. Well, I'll just listen to healing scriptures or sometimes listen to preaching or listen to music, worship music. But I'll have those things going all the time. And it's the type of thing years ago I've done that, but you can kind of slip out of some of those things. And I've really been blessed, and I've just becoming, just keeping myself full of the word that I need to hear for faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I've shared with you before the revelation of that, that the English word by, there's four different Greek words translated into one English word at times, by, B-Y. And so it causes us to not properly interpret that scripture. But the first word by in Romans 10:17 is the word ek, or out of, that faith comes out of, or the, out of the process of hearing the word of God. And hearing, the second word by in the Greek means unto the completion of that word. How long do you keep hearing it? Till it's complete. So regardless of how long it takes, we should have a love for the word of God that's like never boring to you, or like, oh, this is old hat, or I know that. I know that is a real dangerous thought to partaking the life of God, because in your mind is like dismissing, continuing to hear. Where according to Romans 10:17, we continue to hear it until it's done, until it's wrought in us. Now, you might say, there's so much of the word to hear. Yes, exactly. That's why that should be a major part of your life. And again, with the gadgets we have, there's no excuse. You can be driving down the road and have the word playing. I remember years ago, there was, who was that guy, a Scorby or something like that, reading the scriptures. And I remember some years ago, I recorded my own on cassette. Y'all know what cassettes, you know, back in the old days, cassette players, and would just play it, you know, play the word, hearing it to myself. But now it's so easy, and you can do it where it's like ocean noise or whatever in the background on top of it, if you like. Now, some voices tend to more distract or irritate me, so you have to pick one that you can listen to. To be honest with you, Brother Hagin's voice kind of is a little monotone and monotonous. But if I'm going to hear with the intent of I want to be able to go to sleep, that kind of voice is good. Yeah, you don't want all this razzmatazz excitement when you're wanting to sleep. Yeah, I want that to just keep going in my spirit. So as I go to sleep, and my spirit man's still hearing it, even though my mind's quiet in a sleep state, it's still going into your spirit. So the continuation of that hearing is imperative. Now, in doing this, the abundance of the word of God, or the truth of his word to our situation, is how we guard our heart. We guard ourselves from words and thoughts that would bring fear or worry or just distraction, deception. This is how our guard is up. Now, last, I guess about, 10 days ago, I went into the hospital. And, I ended up in the emergency room there. I thought I was just getting fluid drained, but my blood oxygen level was real low, and hemoglobin and all that. So they were trying to tell me I needed to stay in there and be all checked and all that. And I'm very resistant by nature to that. But So I want to clearly understand, if I'm going to submit myself to something, exactly that's, is that what I need to do or not? And the emergency room doctor, he starts rattling off based, not really knowing, okay, all these things that could be wrong. And I didn't respond a lick to him. I mean, Donna's my witness to this. I'm just staring at him. He's rattling off. It could be heart failure. It could be this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other. I'm just staring at him. I didn't answer a word. He says, "You understand me?" Donna says, "Yeah, he understands you. He heard everything you said." So I rattled off everything he just said. But the thing was, I was guarding my heart. And I didn't react or respond to anything. Where, apart from being strong in the word, any of that could put fear in you. The stuff he was saying could put fear in you. And I mean, he didn't really know what to do with me. I wasn't being ignorant or anything, but it was just, this is how I live. I'm not going to respond to, even regardless of whatever he was saying be true or not, I'm first guarding my heart. I want you to make sure you understand this. I'm first guarding my heart. Because if you don't guard your heart and you allow any emotions of fear or worry or anything like that, you'll probably make a decision that's not a good one. You'll be moved into something, and in that world, because of lawsuits and such, the medical community has to impose excessive testing and such. So you can't come back and sue them. I understand it. I'm not faulting them. It's a system. But I understand that. So I know I have to pick through whatever's being said to me. Is this truth, or is it a man's self-protection or some combination thereof? But regardless of all of that, my first order of business is I have to protect my heart from that which would rob me of faith, because regardless of whatever I would do or be told, I need to proceed forward in faith, regardless. And we have to guard our faith and guard our heart so we keep it, which is to guard it with all diligence. Or the action of a guard where they're extremely watchful. Because all the perimeters of our life are being governed by what's abundant in your spirit or in your heart. So we have to be very diligent to be on top of this, to be proactive and to be full and to be strong. So God's word is life to those that find them, and health, healing, remedy, cure to their flesh. So again, I want to say it again, that which would be the power of God to your body begins in your spirit. So we stay strong in spirit. So again, I want to encourage you to consider having the word plate, maybe while you're cooking dinner or driving in your car. You know, try to maximize all the time that you have. When you do a time evaluation of your life, it's amazing how much you realize you waste time, or that you're not using it in a great way. I remember years ago, feeling challenged of the Lord to try to evaluate, and there's like 168 hours in a week and so on and so forth. And I come up like missing hours I couldn't account for. and we can have a lot of time that's not necessarily like something evil, but is it productive for us? So, in evaluating something like that, it's not with the intent to create some guilt trip or a works, or you have to try to attain perfection, but just to kind of evaluate the use of that time. And many times we can, do more one thing at once. Multitask, where maybe some people sing in a shower, or you're playing music, something like that, while you're brushing your teeth. You can do things where you're maximizing those things. Now, Don and I like to keep up on current events with the news and such things, but I find with that you have to really watch that you're maintaining a balance. Because if I hear too much of the negativity that's going on in the world, it can begin to affect me in a negative way. So, if you're going to ingest any of that negative, which you have to do some of, okay, you can't just live in a cave. You can't pretend the evil's not out there. But to whatever degree that you're exposed, you have to all the more so fill yourself with the Word. Now, you have, like, say, some children maybe are in a public school and they're hearing a lot of garbage. Well, you're going to have to be all the more so when they come home that there is an influence of the Word of God to compensate for that. So I'm just giving you another illustration here. Maybe you work around some ungodly people. Well, if you stay strong, you can be influencing them. Sometimes the question arises about, well, is it right or wrong to hang around certain people, to fellowship? Well, the way you answer that's who's influencing who? Are you influencing them, or are they influencing you? And if they're not to be influenced and they're only influencing you, then you shouldn't be around them. It's quite simple. And you'll find out if you're expressing the life of God, you'll find out real fast whether they want to be around you or not. Because someone whose heart is closed and hard, they can't get away from you fast enough. Or they will do something to shut you up, to keep you from expressing the truth that's in you. So you don't have to like tell people to get away. If you live and speak truth, they'll either begin to allow your influence or they're going to want to get away from you. When I committed everything to the Lord, I didn't have to tell my old friends to leave me. They left me. It's because I want to talk about Jesus. So most of them, they didn't come around anymore. Where those who did end up getting saved. So, or anyway, we want to stay full. And I want to just mention to you, don't underestimate the fact that people will notice what's in your spirit. Don't underestimate that. I know when I was in the hospital, this was the first good hospital experience I've had ever. And it sort of restored my faith in that community a little bit, because I had good people around me, that I just kept encountering. I don't know if God brought them there or whatever, but anyway, I had a lot of favor. And it's just sort of dawning on me that it's just Spirit of God, favor of God. And I wasn't doing anything in particular. You know, I wasn't, I don't know, if maybe most patients are a real pain in the butt or something. I don't know, but I wasn't. But I think it's just the favor of God. And it ended up in these conversations with all these people about spiritual things, not necessarily lengthy, they got their job to do, but people will be drawn to, if they have a heart towards the wanting life, they'll be drawn to that if they see that in you. And if we stay full when we're in the adverse situation, it's like you squeeze the toothpaste tube, toothpaste comes out. You get squeezed and truth and life come out. So, yeah, I just want to encourage you in the exhortation here to stay full of his word. Keep your heart with all diligence. Put away from you the froward mouth and perverse lips, which is speaking of speaking deception, evil, and so forth. Now, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You hear your own words. You hear other things, but you hear yourself all the time. And your spirit responds to your own voice. That's why it's so important for you to speak the word and hear yourself speaking it. Not necessarily before man, but just before the Lord. Speaking the word, that's meditate, to speak to yourself, to mutter to yourself, speak to yourself. So talking to yourself's good. Speak to yourself, put away from the from you a froward mouth or things that are not the truth. And this where, for me, if I'm going through a situation, I'll tend to not really want to talk to too many people about it, because when people ask, it's not wrong to ask, but they ask, well, what have you been told? What's your situation? If I have to keep saying over and over the negative, my mind's being renewed to that. So if you have 20 people ask you, and I'm speaking out this negative thing 20 times over, that's becoming bigger in my mind, in my spirit. So I found, and I'll advise people as a pastor, get one person to be your spokesperson, and people can ask that person. So you're not having to just continue to speak the negative. So if you wonder why I didn't talk to you, it's I haven't been talking to anybody. Honestly, and it's not that I don't want anybody to know my situation. It's that I don't want to have to be saying the negatives. Okay, so that's part of guarding my heart. I'm protecting myself from that evil thoughts or fear or any such thing from beginning to get a grip in me or a seed to be planted. Now, when a seed's planted, sprouts, it's small, can be plucked up easily. But when it begins to root down and grow, it doesn't come out so easy. So it's just, again, a word of wisdom there. We need to keep the negative speech at a minimum. Okay, that's especially as we're going through a situation. Stay strong, keep the word strong in your heart. Keep the negativity to a minimum. And then to also recognize what is the truth. Now, one of the, apparently the, I don't know, a shift maybe in the medical community. It used to be you'd have like one doctor. Well, they have a specialist for everything come in. I'm getting these different things from like, four or five different types of doctors, and they're all looking through the lens of their specialty. So then they're speaking, well, this could be this or this or this or this. So they don't know. And you question them, they'll say they don't really know. But you have all these maybes out there. Well, maybes aren't truth to me. So I don't repeat or latch on to any of it. And it's not that I don't want to hear it. If something's true, it's true. Then, you know, I'll deal with it. But I'm not going to be moved by maybe, maybe, maybe. You know, but maybe you'll slip on a banana peel when you walk out the door. Is that going to keep you from going out the door? I mean, it's just, it becomes lunacy of the mind. You know, when you're going down the road, because it's all fear-based. Well, this could be this, this could be that. Well, the truth that I know and lay hold of is that Jesus Christ is my healer. And that by faith, he is my source. I'll trust him. If I need to do something, he'll show me. If I need to not do something, he'll show me. And you have to stay strong with that. So there's the battle here of not allowing something to come in that's not even the truth relative to you. Well, maybe this or that. Well, maybe this or that. So we put that away, or we keep it at bay by staying strong in the Word and keeping our eyes looking straight on to the Word. Now, back in the Old Testament, they were told to write the Word on a doorpost. They'd have a hat with Scripture on it. Now, if I was going to go into a city, maybe I'd put "Thou shalt not kill" on my hat. You know, just to remind you, or "Thou shalt not steal." In the thieves. But it wasn't in their heart, so they had to have it in front of their eyes all the time. We have the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said would bring all things to our remembrance. So as we pray in the Spirit, he's reminding us constantly. But then we can also incorporate the thing of actually literally having it in front of our eyes. So thus we have business opportunities for plaques and stuff to put up in your house. I remember thinking about that once. That came up with the idea. We need Word wallpaper. You know, script wallpaper has scriptures on it. Donna never went along with me on that. Last second, you should have that on the ceiling above your bed. Word wallpaper. And he's later, lay there with a flashlight, and just read scriptures. But keeping it before our eyes. Again, when you approach something like that, we would do it as a matter of principle, not as a religious work. And we have to really make sure we don't just get into works with things like that. But it's just a matter of principle. This is how I live. I live with my life abiding in his Word. So, keep our heart with all diligence. Stay full of the Word. Out of the heart is the issues of life. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart does good like a medicine." And, of course, to hear that, I always think of my friend Ron Perry. And he had a song about his take our medicine. Ha, 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 ha. But that illustrates the fact that out of your spirit, healing flows. So in having joy, joy carries healing. So, and they found, researchers have found, like, say, if you're not well, you know, if whatever strikes you as comedy, I Love Lucy or whatever, that can be helpful. Now, sometimes you could be so, have such a heaviness, you can't really laugh at much anything. You know, it might not, you don't feel like laughing. So it's not just about slapstick comedy or whatever. I mean, Yeah, but the thing is that carrying joy, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit, there's a release from joy, release of certain things. Just as if we allow heaviness upon us, it carries a burden. And one of the things that we step into, and I can't fully explain this scientifically, but I've read and heard before, is how stress will release toxic hormones that release poison into your body. And there's a lot of health issues that are toxic related. Now, some toxins are related to environmental pollution, such like, but there's other toxins, toxic hormones, and so forth that emotions release. And thus you have what they call the fight or flight, you know, the toxic hormones. Anger, fear especially releases that. Whereas we stay full of peace and joy, those things aren't released into our body. And it really is a key thing relative to health. Now, I want to go at this point to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice and cleave unto him, for he is your life, your length of days, and may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now, in Deuteronomy, he was recounting the law and what all God had set before them before they're going to go into the promised land. So it's like a review, in a sense. And he's ending it here saying, I set before you this day life and death, blessing, cursing. Choose life. So we see here that, and one of the things mentioned, I think it was back chapter 7, I am the Lord your God who heals you. Healing was a part of that. Long life, prosperity, blessing. Really, everything of the natural realm of life was made available in the old covenant. Now, I say this a lot, but it bears repetition. The new covenant brought spiritual blessing that was not available in the old covenant because sin was still in the heart of man. But with the removal of sin, the Holy Spirit could come in and bring access to the kingdom of God, love, peace, and joy. So the old covenant provides everything to the natural that we would need or desire. And he says, I set it before you, choose life, or it's your choice to partake of that. Now, with us having a choice, that means we have a responsibility. Yeah, preach it, brother. A lot of people don't want to hear that word, responsibility. Yeah, that's part of the underpinning of why people will embrace socialism. I'm not responsible. The government is responsible to take care of me. You know, when parents raise their kids to not have to be responsible, that mommy and daddy will always do everything for you, that creates a little socialist. You said, how'd they end up like that? Because you did too much for them. Now, obviously, when someone's an infant, you're doing everything for them, but there's a gradual switch over from that to where they become responsible for themselves, which is really a criteria for becoming a man or a woman, where you take responsibility for your own life. Now, God's provided everything for us, but then we have to take responsibility to receive it and walk in the light of it. And it's a choice that we make. So we have to make that choice choose life. There is a we have a lot of choices to make. When I was in the hospital, they have menus. Now you can pick out what you want. Half the time I never got what I picked out. But anyway, based on my present diet, low carb, and I choose certain things, not because I liked it, but because this is what is good for me right now. In other words, like potatoes and stuff like pasta or whatever. I can't eat that. Those carbs will jack up my sugar. So it's not wisdom for me to do that. I could pay a price for that later. But I have a choice. So here I am. Nobody knows. Donna's not there for me to do, you know. Nobody knows. I could have chosen and had spaghetti or something like that. Well, if I OD on sugar, I'm in the hospital anyway. But see, that's foolishness to think like that. Now, I didn't do that. But see, I had a choice. I was making these choices. Said, okay, I know I shouldn't do that, so I won't do it. And if there's any lust in your heart for certain things, many times that'll cause you to do something that's not wise for you. And a lot of people just laugh it off, think, oh, ha, 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 you know, I'll just say a prayer later. You'll find that prayer probably will go unanswered because tempting God. We have choices, and our choices need to be made based on the knowledge and wisdom that we would have. And if we continue to make, see, your life is, Brother Cole used to say, this is constructed by your choices. And the what you presently have today is a result of choices you made in the past. Whether you're right up to before you left the house today or 30 years ago, whatever. The choices we make are going to cause and affect our life. Now, we have available all the life of God. But it's up to us to choose life. Now, by staying strong in the Word, keeping our mind renewed, it helps us make the right choice. Now, when it comes to something like food, for example, I found for myself that I have to renew my mind about nutritional things so that when I face the choice, I'll make a good choice. Because if I forget about why, the reason why, you know, to eat certain things or to ingest certain things, if I forget the reason why, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to move towards what the memory of my taste buds dictates. Yeah, pizza and ice cream. Yeah, that's where you're going to go. And the longer you've done something a certain way, the stronger that desire is going to be. So in order to change that, it's by the renewing of the mind with what you know to be true. Now, that being said, when people don't want to have to do certain thing or make changes, they want to make a moral issue out of it. Is it sin to eat pizza? No. It's dough, tomato sauce, and cheese. But for me, it wouldn't be very wise. Because that dough is going to jack up my sugar. So I'd be violating wisdom in that. So if I don't have my mind renewed to those things, it'd be easy to just say, well, yeah, I'll just do it just this one time. That one will become two, will become ten, you know, become where you're doing it every day. Now, sometimes pain will help you remember. Now, when I had kidney stone 22 years ago, I had pain I knew not of. And with that, I came, the Holy Spirit showed me it was from black tea. And I determined I never want to have that kind of pain again. I've not had black tea in 22 years. And I've not had a kidney stone either. So that, you know, pain will help you remember. But you can begin to forget even that and enter back into something. But I don't want to wait for pain to keep me in check, but rather to keep my mind renewed to what I know to be true, and not just knowledge-wise, but true to me. True to my... See, our bodies are all very different. Our needs are different. That's why there's no one-size-fits-all with health. So it's your own discovery that you're sort of on. But as you become aware of truth and the truth to you, you know, this might be okay for one person, but be poison to you. You know, people deal with food allergies, and one person can eat that and make the next one sick. Well, we have to understand what is good for us and then make the right choice, taking responsibility. So we're choosing life. We choose to stay full of the Word, which, again, just a little recap thought here from Proverbs 4, is that out of the heart comes the issues of life, or the whole perimeters of our life are being touched and affected by what flows out of our spirit. So we keep our spirit man full of the Word, hearing His Word day and night. Again, I encourage you, use your device. Let the Scriptures play and stay full. You don't have to be afraid of unknown times. Some people fear the unknown popping up. You don't have to. You can just stare it in the face and don't even answer when you're getting the lowdown. What could be wrong with you? You can just sit there and smile. and when they walk away, laugh, because it doesn't change the truth, the higher truth, the greater truth of who Jesus Christ is to you.